said last week, what we're going to do is interrupt the story of the Bnei Sascha's life. Reb Hirsch Melech, Reb Tzvi Melech and Dinev, we're going to interrupt the story of his life to be able to learn some of the Torahs in preparation for Hanukkah. Since the Chayza, as I told you last week, the Chayza called him a Hanukkah lamp, so it must be that he's a Hanukkah light for every one of us. Unquestionably, the most famous piece in the Bnei Sascha, certainly Hanukkah, but perhaps the most famous piece in all of his teachings, is the one we're going to do. We've done this in the shul before. I think the first year that the shul, it's actually now 6 years since the shul started. So 6 years ago, I think that first Hanukkah, we spoke about this story from the Bnei Sascha. We never did it inside. So even though I'm sure Nachum heard this, and I'm sure we'll remember it, nevertheless, we're going to learn the Torah inside, and it's a very, very famous Torah, and it's very beautiful. And whoever has heard of the Bnei Sascha has heard of this Torah, something that's a review for some of the, if it's a review for some of you, so good, so review inside, and then we'll learn, then we'll continue to learn many of his other Torahs on Hanukkah. On the first page, Samach Dalet, the Pasuk begins, Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef Laharis Lefanav Geishna. This pasuk, as you know, is referring to the time that Yaakov Avinu was informed. Yaakov Avinu was already informed that Yosef HaTzadik was alive, and preparations were being made for Bnei Yisrael, for the Shiftei Kov, for the Jewish people to come down to Mitzrayim to be with Yosef HaTzadik. But there was a very important thing that took place before the entire family was to go, and that's that Yaakov decided to send Yehuda. He decided to send Yehuda by himself before the rest of the brothers, Laharus Lefan of Goshna, to teach the way to Goshna, to Goshen, where the Jews lived in Goshen. And we know there that Rashi says that he sent Yehuda ahead to prepare yeshiva. When Jews move to a certain place, they have to have a base medrash, they have to have a yeshiva, a beis hara. So Rashi tells us that the pshat of this Yehuda shalach lefan of Yosef laharis lefan of Goishna, that the pashut pshat is that he sent Yehuda before the rest of the shvatim, so that when they would come, they would have a yeshiva ready. Yeshiva, we understand, means the institutions that are necessary for Jews to live. Why did he send Yehud in such a way? And he writes, of course, the drasha Chazal Yadua. That's the drasha that I just mentioned. That the teaching of Chazal is known, that he sent him to prepare a yeshiva. The Gamla Divrayim Zal, Koshel Lama Sholach Yehuda Davka. And even according to what Chazal tell us, that Yehuda was sent before the other brothers to prepare a Beis Medrash, even according to them, why was it Davka Yehuda? Why was it Davki Yehuda? If it's a question of godless in Torah, greatness in Torah, or responsibility for Torah, one could say that Yisachar would have gone, or Levi would have gone, right? These are the balabatim of a Torah, so to speak. Yehuda, we know, is Malchus, is royalty. But as far as the Rosh Hashiva is concerned, so we would have thought perhaps Yisachar or Levi would have been sent to establish a yeshiva. So even according to this teaching of Chazal, that Yehuda went to prepare yeshiva, we have to understand why was it Yehuda. Gam Goshna Havalei L'Meimel L'Goshen. Also, when the Torah uses, when Tanakh uses such a Loshen as Goshna, instead of saying L'Goshen, to Goshen, but Goshna, there's a diuk, there's a reason why, there's a reason why they're using it in that form, to Goshen, instead of saying Legoshen, they say Goshna. If it says in Tanakh Yerushalayma, or if it says such a Loshen, then there's a reason to darshan why was it Davka written in that form. Shebemokam, Hagam, Shebemokam, Lamed, Betchilim, Atlakosul, Famim, Hey, Besoifim, calls a time of boy, like Dovereku, even though we know sometimes it does, the Tanakh does that. Sometimes it'll use the hey at the end of the word instead of the lamed at the beginning of the word. But when that happens, then time a boy. Then we have to understand why did they do that? The Lord of a Reiki, it's not stam. There's a reason why they wrote the word in such a way, Goshna. V'nira. It seems. Dihine yodua d'golus harishoin golus mitzrayim haye k'davar sharshi l'chol had arba golius. We know that there are four exiles. There are four exiles. Egypt is not counted on the list of the four exiles. Mitzrayim is not included on that list. The four exiles are the exiles of Bovel, the Babylonian exile, the exile of Modai, of Persia, of Yavan, of Greece, and of Rome, of Edom. Egypt is not included on that list, and the Rebbe says because the Golus of Mitzrayim is a Dover Sharshi, it's the root of the Golus, it's the root of all exile. Sharshi l'chol ha'abagolius v'n hadal malchis asher hechbidu oylam al Yisrael. Of the four exiles that have weighed heavily upon, that the world has set against the Jewish people, these exiles. Kol echad min hadalad malchiyas, ha yiminagid lois echad min Hashem kivyochel, Hashem havaye baruch hu. There are four exiles, because each one of the exiles stands in opposition, in conflict, with one of the letters of Hashem's holy name, of the Shem havaye baruch hu, the name of Hashem yudke vavke. Each one of the four exiles is fighting against one of the four letters of Hashem's name. Each letter of Hashem's name brings certain koach into the universe, into the world. And the exiles stand opposed to that. Ashi Yisrael dveikim bo ayidei ma'aseihem. K'madat omar v'atema dveikim b'havaye elokeichem. In this world, our job is to attach ourselves to Hashem Elokeinu. The Golus Mitzrayim, now how come Mitzrayim is not included on that list? So he says, the Golus Mitzrayim, where is Mitzrayim in the Yud Kei Vav Kei? So he says, the Golus Mitzrayim menagil lebchina el yoyne. He kutzel shel yud. The Golus of Mitzrayim stands opposed to the beginning of the letter yud. That little spitzel, that little point on the yud that comes down, that point. The kutzel shel yud, that's called the kutzel shel yud, which is the beginning of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's before the actual name. It's that koach that is the root and the soul of the four letters of Hashem's name. Mitzrayim is Menaged, Mitzrayim, which is the source of all exiles. The only reason the Jewish people could go into the four exiles is because there was once this nuclear reactor from which all exiles come, and that's called Egypt. And Egypt stands opposed to the beginning of the letter Yud, to the Kutzu Shel Yud, that point of the Yud. Mizehu Said, and the Rebbe says, this is the secret, this is the mystery. Mizehu Said, V'yakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. When it says in the beginning of Shmais, when it describes the strong negative feelings that Egypt had towards b'nei Yisrael, so, vayakutsu means we were like thorns in their eyes. So the word vayakutsu is hinting to the fact that Egypt stands opposed to the kutsil shel yud, to the point of the yud. Kutz, kots means a thorn, the thorn of the yud. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael v'havein. Imkein, megolus mitzrayim ha'yiklulim kol hadalat golius. Therefore, we understand that in the exile of Egypt, all four exiles were already included. Vizehu said, and he says, this is the mystery of the pasuk that it says there at the beginning of Shmos, Vayihi bayomim harabim hahem. And it was during those many, many days. When it's describing the length of Golus, of our exile, we were sitting for so many years in Egypt, and the suffering, the tsaris, the misery of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah says, Vayihi bayom harabim hahem. It was during those many days. And the Megala Mukas from Kroka says that Rabim, the word Rabim is Reshitavis, Romi, Bovel, Yavon, and Modai. Rome and Babylonia, Greece and Persia. Because since Egypt is the root and source of all four exiles, already contained in the Kutsu Shel Yud, in that beginning of the letter Yud of Yakutsu Mibnei B'nei Yisrael, are the four Golisim, the four exiles. Vayihi bayom harabim haheim. Rabim is Rome, Modai, Bovel, Romi, Bovel, Yovan, and Madai. Vihine, Benefol HaShurish, Yiplua, Nofim, Imele. Now, if you want, you know, there's a lot of talk, Lamoshal, there's a lot of talk of what is America going to do about Iraq? Iraq's already a big pain in the neck. It's a very dangerous pain in the neck. So they're talking, so they blow up a big drugstore. So it's basically, they blow up this building, they'll try to get that building. Then they did a mission a couple of years ago. And there are others that say, you got to get Saddam, right? That's the Vart. There are those who say, listen, if you're going to go for the, you're going to bomb this building or that building, you're only attacking the anofim, the branches. But you have to get to the root, to the soul, right? And the root and soul is, according to those people, whether it's true or not, this I don't know, but is Hussein. So the Rebbe is saying that in order to eventually be able to see the demise, the death, the destruction of the four exiles, it is necessary to attack the headquarters. It's necessary to undermine, to plant, as we say, to plant the seeds of destruction. To plant the seeds of destruction, almost like a time bomb, that would facilitate the ultimate destruction of the four kingdoms. Something has to be done, a mission has to be carried out to sabotage the Golus of Egypt. To sabotage it. And it's not enough just to take the Jews out. Something has to happen in the Golus of Mitzrayim. Not that the Jews left, they left the Golus. But Mitzrayim is there. Something has to be done in Egypt to sabotage the exile, to sabotage the Golus of Mitzrayim. So that's what he's saying. V'hini ben pola sherish yiplu ha'nofim. Because if the root is destroyed, then the branches will die on their own. Okay, therefore, husam yisoid musar b'tarosenu ha'kedosha zichron yitzias Mitzrayim. We find that almost all of our mitzvahs somehow return to that yisod, to that fundamental principle of Yiddishkeit. Remember Mitzrayim. Remember that we left Mitzrayim. Everything focuses around Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shebezen nivoshei mikol hagolus. Because somehow by us remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim and being able to engage through the years in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is an ongoing struggle we've spoken about all the years through Sefer Shmos and on, that Mitzorim Mitzrayim means to be in a place of constriction, to be held back, not to be who you could be. That's what Mitzrayim means. Min ha-meitzar karosik, I call to you from the meitzar. Mitzrayim is being held back from becoming who you could become. Anytime a Jew has potential and he's not able to carry out that potential, it means he's in Mitzrayim. He's still sitting in Mitzrayim. But sar lucha. The Hashem makes a promise to take us out of that meitzar. Shebezeni b'shem kol hagolus. Because if we could sabotage Egypt, if we could somehow get ourselves out of that place and cause there to be destruction in the Golus of Mitzrayim, then we've created an opening, a tunnel from which we can escape through the years. Vihine kosav Rav HaGadol Bal Gurarye. Who's the Rav HaGadol Bal Gurarye? That's the Maral Miprag, right? The Gurarye wrote, "We're safe in their mitzvah." It's a very good thing to learn the Ner Mitzvah at this time of the year, and it's not long. Do the whole thing in a couple of days. So the Maral writes in Ner Mitzvah, Inyan ha'arba malchiyas. The Ner Mitzvah, I mean, it would be to call it a masterpiece. It's an overview of all of history, all that already has happened, and a Ruach HaKadosh, a glimpse into what's going to happen. It's the Maral study of the four Malchias. A large part of the Ner Mitzvah is the study of the four kingdoms. The Maral's explanation, this has been translated into English also, the Maral's understanding of the four kingdoms. And in that amazing Torah there, Ner Mitzvah, the Maral teaches, Dihine ba'odem yesh koach gufani v'koach nafshi v'koach sechli v'koach elyona kolel kulam. The Maral teaches over there that each one of the four exiles stands opposed to one of the four kochot, one of the four koiches, four types of energy, the four karkas that are in the life of a human being. The four types of kochos that are in a human being are the koach gufani, physical, one's physical abilities, physical life. These are the four domains of human life. Physical, gufani, koach nafshi, spiritual, emotional, spiritual. Koach sichli, intellectual. V'koach elyon, the moral says, ha-kolel kulam, the integrating power. That means there is a higher koach that coordinates the three kochos of the gufani, the physical, the nafshi, the spiritual, the emotional, and the sichli, and the intellectual. That koach elyon, everything Maral says is alpi Kabbalah, it just doesn't say it in a Kabbalistic way, but that koach elyon, that higher transcendent koach in the human being, that coordinates the relationship between these three koaches, the koach hagufani, the physical, the koach hanafshi, emotional, spiritual, and the koach sichli, and the intellectual, that's called the koach hakola, koach elyon hakolel kulam, that brings everything together. And he's saying, Yitziva milsed denol ha-taymit me'etachayim. He says, and the words of the Maharal are particularly strong for those who have tasted of the tree of life. What does he mean when he says he'll taste of the tree of life? He's speaking about not just Torah, he's speaking about the Eitz Chaim from the Ariyak, from the Chaim Vital, from the Arizal. I mean, who have tasted of the teachings of the Arizal. The Eitz Chaim is from the Kisvei Ha'ari. Koach HaGufani, Hu Nefesh HaDomemesh Sheba'odem. The Koach HaGufani, the physical, means the inanimate body of man. The Koach HaGufani, the physical body. Nafshi Hu HaNefesh HaTzomachas Shebo. That's called that the nafshi, the spiritual, is called the nefesh atzomachas shebo, the nefesh atzomachas that the Rambam uses in the Shemona Prokem, this lashon. Nefesh atzomachas means the ability for growth, the ability for growth. It corresponds to plant life, but that ability to grow and to feel and so on. Sichli is nefesh achiyuni shebo. This the intellect corresponds to what we would call the neshama. Koach HaKolel Nefesh HaMedaber Shebo. Nearly. But these are just different terms. But the Koach HaKolel means the fourth Koach that coordinates and integrates the other three Koaches. V'hine. The Rebbe explains now. Malchus Bavel. I mean, he's explaining this in the Maral. This is still Maral. V'hine Malchus Bavel. The first kingdom, which is the kingdom of Bavel, the first exile. Bavel stood opposed, still does, to the koach hanafshi, to the koach of the nefesh, the spiritual, emotional koach. Why? Dihine heim hoyu hamavatlim harishonim es avodas beis hamikdash haynu hakarbonis. Because the first ones, the first nation that could not bear the Jewish people having a beis hamikdash, could not bear the avoda of the beis hamikdash, the first ones were the first nation was the nation of Bavel. V'akarbonis heim takonis hanefesh, the avoda, the halev of the heart and soul of the Jewish people is the Beis Hamikdash. Bavel despises the soul, the avoda. It despises that ability of the Jewish people to express their deepest emotions in avodas Hashem. K'madat Omer, it says v'nefesh ki sakriv. It says by the karbonis v'nefesh ki sakriv. And the soul brings a sacrifice. So that's Bavel. So Bavel is opposed to the Yud of Hashem's name and to the Koach HaNafshi, to that which is called the spiritual Koach. Modai, Persia, the second exile. Modai, Hayimanagi LeKoach HaGufani. Modai stood in opposition to the Koach HaGufani, to the physical Koach of the Jewish people, to the sanctity of the Jewish body, to physical life, to our physical lives. Therefore, we find that the first ones who sought to physically annihilate the Jewish people, physically to destroy us, was what was Haman. Haman was in the kingdom of Modai, Persia. Lahashmid, laharug, la'abed. To utterly annihilate every single man, woman, and child in Shushan Habira, b'chol Medinas Hamelach HaChashveirs. So, the second kingdom, the second exile, is Modai, Persia, that is opposed to the first Hay of Hashem's name, which seeks to destroy the physical life of Klal Yisrael. Yovan, Greece, that's obvious. Hoye menagi lekoach hasichli. Greece and Greek culture, Greek-Roman culture, stood opposed to the intellect of the Jewish people. Its goal in fighting against the Jewish people was not so much the destruction, as we know from, as the Mefarshim and the Poskim tell us. They were not seeking the physical destruction of Klal Yisrael, but they were seeking, they were the first, it was the beginning of a process called Hisyavnus. It's the first appearance of people who are called Misyavnim. The point here was to change Jewish learning and Jewish culture. The point of Yavin of Greece was primarily that the Jewish mind should not be immersed in the study of Torah. The idea of translating the Torah into Greek was an effort to secularize the Torah. And it's because of this effort there are books about, you know, the Bible is poetry, the Bible is literature, and so on. And the Torah is a very beautiful thing to have in a museum. But the ideas of Greece, I think that this doesn't require any further explanation. Whoever knows a little bit of the Indian of Hanukkah, we know that the point of Greece was to infiltrate into the mind of the Jewish people, to allow us to live, even to allow us to practice certain laws, but to remove the Jewish mind from a worldview that is bound by Torah, and instead to look at the world through secular eyes. With Torah as something which is fascinating and beautiful and charming and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as per all the courses that are taught in secular colleges about the Bible and so on, right? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's admirable and it's artistic. And that's Yavon. So Yavon was opposed to the mind of the Jewish people, to that koch that's called koch ha-sichli, she-tar-seinu, she-ikah chochmam yesher ha-seichel. The Torah is what straightens out a person's mind. Heim rotsu b'chachmosam chitzonius ha-philosophis. They wanted with their chokhmah philosophers, with philosophical knowledge, with human knowledge, to replace godly knowledge with human knowledge. Levatla mechokhmah satayra, to take us away from chokhmah satayra that straightens the mind. So that's the third exile of Greece. Malchus Arevius, and the fourth exile, the fourth Malchus, Hiyamadaka Veromas Hakoyla, the fourth exile, which was predicted by Daniel, the exile of Rome, is an exile which stands in opposition to all of the three. Remember, the fourth koach in the human being is the koach ha'elyon ha'kolel ha'kol. It's the fourth that coordinates and integrates the other three koachos. Therefore, the final exile, the exile that we're presently in, is an exile that does not want Jews, A, to experience emotionally and spiritually closeness to God, which corresponds to Bavel. B, seeks to annihilate, to physically destroy the Jewish people as per the well-known descendants of Haman, Yimach Shemo. To annihilate the Jewish people, Ahashmid, Laharug, Laabed, whether it's with a sword or it's with gas chambers, it's the same idea, that a Jewish body should no longer exist in the world. That corresponds to Persia, Modai. And Yavon Greece is the idea that has become particularly popular in the 20th century, which tells Jewish people that if you want your child to be particularly well-rounded or particularly put together and successful, then let's try to keep the Torah learning to a short period of time in the morning and emphasize and concentrate on the afternoon's courses and then to make sure that as far as higher learning, even what does it mean, higher learning? It doesn't mean that you go on to Kudshim and Taharis. When you talk to someone about higher learning, so higher learning means, you know, Ivy League and so on. This idea of secular knowledge, regardless of what the subject is, that's not the point now. I mean, we're not arguing whether or not science and math is part of Torah. I'm not getting into that whole discussion, which, you know, mostly does not come from Yosh Shemayim, those discussions. The point is that the focus of the Jewish intellect in modern times, in this last Golas, is the renewal of the strength of Greece. Is that how many times, you know, I've had students that you'll have a parent that a religious parent, Shomer Mitzvahs, who's appalled. How is it that you're already 18 years old and you haven't read Dostoevsky? How is it that you haven't read Ernest Hemingway? Who were both of them were deranged people. How is it you haven't read their writings? Not how is it that a boy that's 18 doesn't know one Masechta? Or how is it that a boy that's 18 years old can't say a few Mishnayos Baal Peh? or a boy that's 18 doesn't have your shemayim to get up to daven the right zman. You understand that the whole intellect of klai, so akid dekach, that you can't even talk about this. If you talk about this, you're already, you know, you're mechutz l'machna. You're mechutz l'machna because it's understood, it's misunderstood. But what the Rebbe's talking about, be'emes, what the morale's talking about is the Golus of Greece that reappears in the last exile in all of his strength in Western culture, which is Edom, which is Rome. This is the most bitter of exiles. Spiritually, physically, intellectually. We're being attacked on all fronts. Therefore, he says the fourth kingdom of Rome. European, Western civilization. Whether for some time its headquarters in Athens, or whether it's in the Vatican, or whether it's in Berlin, or whether it's in London, or it's in Washington or Paris. The Malchus Revis Menages Laguf, it stands opposed to Jewish physical life, Lenefesh spiritual life, Lesechel intellectual life. Hereu lanu mikol Malchei Ha'adama. B'nai Sosa saying in the 19th century, we've had it, we've gotten it from all of the kingdoms of the earth. The Jews are too smart, the Jews are not, the Jews are this, the Jews are that, and so on. Therefore, you find that the Roman Empire, Edom, Rome, also destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, right? They couldn't stand the Beis HaMikdash, which is Nefesh. Binyan Bavel, the same thing Bavel couldn't bear. Same thing, also Rome destroyed the second temple, which is the Nefesh. All the Gezeris of the Roman Empire in the Gemara. All the Gezeris and the Gemara and throughout history, the Gemara and then later on during the time of the Rishonim, the Crusades, until our days, that the Malchus of Edom, that seek to destroy us, Kamavakam Gezeris, or Shmodiyos, Asher Shofu Kamayim Dam, where Jewish blood is spilled like water, Kedoshe El Yoinim, great exalted people, holy people, Bachzorius Chema, with brutal cruelty, Jews being physically annihilated. Yireh Hashem v'yishpait, that Hashem should see this and should judge. Eretz al techasi damam. The Bnei Sosa throws in here, let the earth, he calls out to the earth, he says, earth, don't cover the blood of our people, don't hide the blood. V'al yiyem mokam l'zakosam. Ad yashkiv v'yireh Hashem and Hashemayim v'yinkoim nikmosam. Hashem should see from Shemayim and take revenge. V'nikmas taroso. Take the revenge for the desecration of his Torah. V'nikmas dam avodah, for the blood of his servants. Hine zoysi ke'ina siyas malchus modai. So now in this last exile, they're doing the work of Modai of Persia, which was Haman's work. Continuing with that work. Asher gozo lahashmid, etc. V'acharkach b'yameinu zeh. And now he says in our days. In our days. He was talking about the time Enlightenment, post-enlightenment, right? The time that things were cooking with the Enlightenment. Now we find a bitter war that's being waged against the Jewish mind, the Jewish intellect. They're bringing in all outside, external, secular wisdom. Shvachos, Nochrios, next page. Sidonios, Chitios, Moavios, taking all kinds of maidservants from all different nations, meaning all kinds of secular knowledge that comes from other countries, from other people, and saying that what? That the shivcha, the maidservant, should take the place of the wife. The Torah is the wife. It's true that the Rambam says, let me know, from the Chachamim, that the other Chachmas, science and math and so on, should be like maidservants. But the Torah is the wife, is our teres baila, that's our wife. But instead, Shivcha Tirash Gevirta, the state that we're now in is that the Shivcha, the one who's supposed to help us understand Torah, science, and math, all secular wisdom, has taken the place of the Geveret, of the woman of the house, of the Balabusta, which is Torah. Ah, the Sheva, I was in a Rab Nukadu Birishtam, Kama alofim, and there are thousands already who have been caught in their net. Nefoshes v'nidchu, the thousands of souls, v'nidchu v'ahoyu l'cher pesodim, who are lost from Yiddishkeit, who have become a disgrace to our people, who are caught in the net of the maidservants of secular wisdom. Who soid habiru ha'achrein b'ikvis Mashiach. This is the last and final birur, the most bitter birur of these last days before Mashiach. We're like Greece. You're allowed to be a Jew. Not, you don't have to. No one's trying to kill you. You could live. You could even keep mitzvahs.
He's saying this is worse than being physically.
He says, "Big to the Mashiach, because why? The confusion is greater. The confusion. Because here one thinks that this is the way of Yiddishkeit. One can think this is the way of Yiddishkeit." Ashikimat kamolo niyasa v'kamohu lo toisif. That we've never seen such a thing, and there shouldn't be. It shouldn't, God forbid, become stronger. Uvimheira yara Hashem yisbarach elinu barachimim or shifas yikras kavoida. May Hashem quickly shine upon us with His compassion, the light, the precious light of His covet, of His glory. K'madat omer v'hoyil l'cha Hashem l'or oylam. That Hashem should be the light of our eyes. Hashem should be the light of the greatest pride of a Jew should be the study of Torah, and whether a child knows with the study of Torah. The guilty kingdom, his lashon. You see what a beautiful lashon. The guilty kingdom, which is Rome, is now wearing the garments at the end of time of Greece. So we see clearly that the present malchus hasn't the three included in it. The three malchus, the three earlier exiles. Because the fourth one is the Koach HaKolel that brings them all together. Therefore, it contains within it Bavel, Babylonia, Madai, Persia, and Greece, Yavon. First, they stood opposed, Rome, the Roman Empire stood opposed to the Bavel, to the Koach HaNefesh. Then they focused on physical annihilation, like Madai. And now, at the end, Bebchinas Yavon, Nigdal HaSeichel Shal HaTorah, B'chochmas Chitzonis, L'choshvam L'vat L'Torah Chasu Shalom, to take us away from Torah. V'hinei, ha'arba malchiyus heim ha'komim b'koyach ha'klipas al Yisrael, roitzim levatel ha'achtus chas v'sholem. What we're davening for every day of our lives, a number of times each day, is v'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. B'yoy mahu Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Hashem's name, your oneness. That's why in the Maral's writings, he refers to in the Maral writings, we've spoken about this in Shul before, the number four is a number of separation, of dispersion, because there are four basic directions. Four ruchos ha'olam. That's why we want to speak about being spread out in all different directions. We say arba kanfos ha'aretz, like the four corners of a garment. So the four kingdoms, which symbolize dispersion, which are trying to break up the holy letters of Hashem's name, which means to bring about the inner dispersion of within a Jew, that his mind, his heart, his body should not function properly in coordination one koach with the other. That is the attempt of the four kingdoms to bring it, to separate the four letters of Hashem's name and to delay and to prevent the coming of Mashiach Halila, of Hashem Echad Ushmoach and Hashem's name being one. V'hem agorim she'ein yichud v'achdus yisbarach shmo b'hizgalus l'chol bo'ei olam. These four kingdoms are the reason why Hashem's oneness cannot be felt and is not revealed to the whole world. Yisrael goy echad, and there's one people left, heim advukim ba'achdus, who remain attached to God's oneness. K'madat omer, it says, v'atem advekim ba'avaya elokeichem, those who are still attached to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, to Hashem. Al-Kena Malchiyas heim arba, that's why there are four kingdoms. Shehim in p'chinas alma de peruda, because the world of separation, of dispersion, the alma de peruda is the number four. Pirud la'arba k'tzavais, because there are four corners. Those who dwell upon the corners of the world, who are furthest away from holiness, should see the signs of Hashem. But the Jewish people remember Hashem's oneness. The Jewish people have that ability for the four to be brought back to one. Because that center point around which the entire world revolves is Yisrael, who remember Hashem's oneness. Who remember that the nafshi is sichli, the nafshi, the I'm sorry, the nafshi, the the Gufani, the Sichli, and the Hakol were given to us, those four kochas to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to reveal Hashem's oneness. And we know from the Maharal that that which is in the center has the ability to be the rallying point to bring back all four corners, like the Mishkan that was in the center, the Mishkan which is the fifth dimension, the fifth point, around which all four corners can return, its home base, it's where everything can come back to. When the four exiles will be destroyed, Yoshua call in the Kudas Achdus, then everything will return to oneness, to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hashem Echad. Kedechsiv, as it says in Tzvanya, Oz Efeich El Ha'amim Sofer Brura, Yachad, Likrei Kulam B'Shem Havaya. Hashem says, then I will turn all the nations back, and they will call out with one lip, with one mouth, with one voice, the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem. Uksiv, Ahoy Havaya L'Melech HaKol Haaretz, B'Yem Ahoy Hashem Echad, Shmoy Echad. And then the kingdom will return to the Jewish people. Goy echad ba'aretz, that singular, unique, one people in the world. Hadveikum ba'achdus havaya baruch hu v'ruach shamay, who remain attached to Hashem. May His name be blessed. He neitoichin adavarim ha'elahim adivei harav ha'goyim ba'gul ar yezal. Imachov v'sinyin bebiyo divareinu eila ka'asher heim le'necha. The essence of what I've just taught you comes from the Maharal with some more of my own explanation. Venerally, therefore it seems to me, Shal Kain Malchus Yisrael Hum in Yehuda. Therefore it seems to me that the Malchus, the kingdom of the Jewish people, that power to bring the world back to Hashem is Yehuda. Comes from Yehuda, the Malchus, Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda. The scepter of strength is Yehuda's. Sheyesh B'Shmo Oisiyas Hashem Havaya Echad. Because Yehuda's name has four letters. Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name of Yehuda is the only Shevet that has the four letters of Hashem's name in it. Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it has a Dalet in the middle. Because the Dalet means that the four will be brought back into Hashem's oneness. Hashem Havaya Echad. Vayid Noisev B'Shmoy Ois Dalet. Yehuda has the Dalet in his name. Lahoris Ki Malchus Yisrael Me'achedes V'Pirsu Mekol Boi Oilam Achdes Hashem Am Yuchad. To teach us that the power of Yehuda and of David, which is Dalet, Vav Dalet, the Dalet we brought back together, Vav Dalet, repairing the Dalet. That Yehuda means the ability of the Jewish people to bring about the repair, the restoration of Hashem Echad, where the four will come back into one. Umekarevis brings close, Umachedis, and unifies a period, the separation, the dispersion, Said Alma Tepruda, the mystery of the world of dispersion. Shagar Muhammalchias, that has been caused by these kingdoms, the four exiles, Yoishvei Ktzavos, who dwell upon the edge, the end, the corners, far from holiness. Halohem Adal Ktzavos Kamosh Ksat Leel. Vihini Yadua, and it's known. The laws of love in the future. V'meher Yomeinu Tia Haschola Segul Aydei Mashiach Ben Yosef. We have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that the Gul of the redemption will begin with Mashiach Ben Yosef, with the Mashiach, the descendant of Yosef at Tzadik. V'haya beis Yaakov Eishu beis Yosef lahavu beis Esav lakash, as it says in Novi, that the house of Yosef will be like a fire of flame that will burn the house of Esav that's compared to straw. V'acharkach tia gemar ha-geula b'shleimus, but the completion of the redemption will take place through Mashiach ben David, habom Yehuda, who comes from Yehuda. And the kingdom will be firmly established in Yehuda's hands, Mashiach ben David. The time Rabbi is beside Smichas Gula Litzvila Vavein. And therefore we have a deeper understanding, which he doesn't go into this right now, of why we must connect Gula, redemption to Tfila, to Davening, which Shemoneh Esrei and Gula have to be connected. Vavein ki, who are Yichud HaGomer, because it's complete oneness. I'm not going to go into that right now. That's Yisoid and Malchus, Yosef HaTzadik. Is Yisoid, and Malchus is Yehuda. That the Jewish people will be one, and Hashem will be one. He says, now you can understand. We need two Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Now we have to go back to Egypt because we have to sabotage Egypt. Because we're going to have to fight throughout history to survive the four exiles. In order for the Jewish people to survive the four exiles, we have to make an attack upon the root and source of the four exiles, which is Egypt. Therefore, at the beginning of the root of our galus, which is Egypt, Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim, when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, the Roshu hu galus sherosh yis l'chol ha'arba galus, and Yaakov saw, he understood, that this was the root and source of the four exiles. Hine, what did he do to prepare, to sabotage, to undermine, so the Jews should be able to survive through the four exiles? Es Yehuda sholach lefanav el Yosef. He sent Yehuda, that's the world of Mashiach ben David, he's of Malchus, of Jewish strength, Malchus. He sent him where lefanav el Yosef, that they should, the two of them should be alone, should meet first, should join together first. Lefon of El Yosef, that's why he sent Yehuda down canal based Mashiach in the mystery of the two Mashiachs. Laharis Lefonov, so Rashi says to prepare yeshiva, but he says, Hainu, Shayor Hadach means to prepare a way, Lefonov before, to prepare the way beforehand. Hainu Lekal Yisrael for all the Jewish people, for all Bnei Yisrael, for any Jew that would ever live. Hakulim by who were contained within within the world of Yaakov Avinu, Viknorim Shema Yisrael, that's why Yaakov is called Yisrael, because all Jews come from Yaakov. Where did he send Mashiach ben David? That's Yehuda. To meet Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef, where did he send him? He sent him, it says, Goshna. Goshna, to the place called Goshen. But it doesn't say Legoshen, it says Goshna. So he says, Hema kitos arba malchias. Because Goshna corresponds to the four kingdoms that are contained in the root of Egypt. Ashahem besitra achwa, the other side of impurity. Menagdim la'arba koiches, that stand opposed to the four koiches of holiness, the four koiches of a Jewish person. Ashahem gdushis Yisrael besoid nafshe seyem, v'hu goishna, which is Rosh Tevis. Goishna stands for what? Gufani, which means the physical. Sichli means the intellectual. Nafshi, the nun, means the spiritual. And hakol means the fourth, which brings all of them, that integrates and brings all of them, coordinates all the other three. That means the Gufani, the Sichli, Nafshi, and Hakol, which are the four exiles of Persia, of Modai, of Yavon, of Bovel, and of Rome. Hakol, Hainu, Malchus, HaRevi, is the fourth kingdom. Hakolelis, Kulam, that brings all of them together. Vihi Negdiyis, L'Nefesh, HaKolelis, that stands opposed to the Nefesh, the ability of a Jew to bring all these Karchas together in his life. That prevents the oneness from being experienced, that prevents Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef from being together. As I said before. That's why Yaakov sends Yehuda to meet Yosef, that the two Mashiachs meet, to sabotage where? Goshna. That world of the four kingdoms, and to strengthen the four qualities of Jewish holiness, of Goshna. Gufani, Sichli, Nafshi, and Hakol. And finally, this will finally take place, the eradication of the four kingdoms will take place with Mashiach. Mashiach is exactly the gematria Goshna. The word Mashiach equals exactly Goshna. 358, Mashiach is Goshna. And then the snake, the filth, which is Rome, will be killed. Because Nochash equals exactly 358. The word Nochash, snake, which is Edom, equals 358, which is the gematria Mashiach. The gematria canal. Asher mimenu koach ha-malchias, because from the snake comes the koach of the malchias nowadays. Va'aziyah b'meher yameinu, and then what will happen? When Mashiach will come, then havaya, Hashem will be havaya l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Ba'yoyim ahu yeh havaya echad, u'shmoy echad. Al-Kain, therefore, he says, havaya melech, yudkei vavkei. Melach, Yudke Vovke Molach, Yudke Vovke Yimloch, Emganke Megamatri Mashiach equals exactly 358. Hashem Melach, Hashem Molach, Hashem Yimloch equals the word, equals Mashiach equals 358. Canal. Hine Lakol Elo Osa Yaakovin Hachone de Rabba, Takev Bahas Cholas Biosel Mitzrayim. He did this right away when it was before we went into Egypt to plant the seeds of destruction. Golas Shorashi. Hinei, as Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef, Soy trained the mystery of train Mashiach and the two Mashiach, Soy Tzmichas Gula Tvila, the Soy, the mystery of connecting Gula with Davening, Yehuda Shalim, the full unification of Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad, V'zei Yisparish Ad Yimitz Hashem Lahol and Pasukar Masav Higilamo, Haga. Now he writes as a note. U'bezeh Tovim Minag Avasein, Tayra. Now we can understand the custom of our ancestors, that's a very ancient custom. Asher haminag b'yemei Chanukah, that the custom is during the days of Chanukah. Asher chinuch l'geula, because Chanukah comes from the word chinuch, which means it prepares us, it educates us, it prepares us for the final redemption, Chanukah. That the custom of the Jewish people is mesachakin hanaorim b'chatichas eitz merubas, that the children play with a piece of wood, with a dreidel, v'olav b'dalek sovais, and on the four sides of the dreidel, chakuk and oisias goshna, neis godel hayasham. The four letters of the dreidel are goshna. What they made now in Eretz Yisrael, a pei, neis godel hayapo, that's something that is a... That's something that took place with the Chalutzim, with non-religious people, at the beginning of the 20th century. Neis Gadol HaYasham is on all dreidels in Eretz Yisrael too, because it means there, in the Beis HaMikdash. Neis Gadol HaYapo is talking people who were talking about Dizengoff wrote that pay there, not who were talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Neis Gadol HaYasham. The letters of a dreidel are Goshna. Bepirut Ois Echad L'Kol Ruach, but it falls on a different letter. The four are separated. The four can't be at the same time. There's only one way the four can be together, and that's when it's spinning on that one point. When it spins on that one point, that's Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people who remember the Hashem's oneness. When those four letters, Goshna, which is Gufani, Shin, Sichli, Nafshi, Hakol, the four kingdoms, the four koiches of a Jewish person, so when they spin on that point, it's called Yisrael. Va'etzazem is Galgel, Anukudas Koita of Merkaz Emtsoi. These four letters spin on the center point. Lahara is to show. Shamalchius halalu hamuramozim betevas goshna. These kingdoms that are hinted in the letters goshna, canal. Hamenagdim bepirudim bektsavas. Who are opposed and who cause this dispersion and separation. Hine kulam soivivim al merkaz, hamerkaz, nukuda emtsois yisrael, hamaachdim haktsavas. The four kingdoms are spinning on the center point of existence, which is Yisrael. On the center point of existence, which is Yisrael. And we see that from their hatred. We see that from their obsession with Jews. That you could read a newspaper in Des Moines, Iowa, and there's some article about Jews that they're obsessed with Jews, that the world is obsessed with a tiny people. That the Jewish people are the ones who are the smartest in the world. The Jewish people are the ones who are undermining the financial, all the finances, the great economies of the world and so on. All of this, In the anti-Semitism, I once told you that I had some years ago. I had a family that stayed, that came for Shabbos, that stayed by us. And I asked, there were recent arrivals from Russia, but this was before the maybe it was at the time of no, it was already must have been before the fall of the regime. That I had these people came and I asked them, where you're from? So they said, no, you never heard of it. A small town in the Ukraine. So, well, come and tell me, Ukraine. Chassid didn't know about the Ukraine. So tell me what. And they spoke broken Yiddish. So he said, it's called Chernobyl. He said, Chernobyl. Says Chernobyl. So he said, oh, you heard what happened, the nuclear reactor? I said, I know about the nuclear reactor, but there was Chernobyl, there were bombs blowing there long before the Tzaddikim blew up the reactor. Chernobyl is from the Morinai, Rav Nochemke, Ramatala, Havarala, Chernobyl, Sadiqim of Chernobyl. Right? So you know what they're telling me? We were talking about Chernobyl. These were people that they lived in a village outside of Chernobyl. And they had to, and when the reactor went off in Chernobyl, so the Jews were forced to evacuate all the villages. The Jews were forced to leave. And the Jews, not only that, many of them were brutally beaten and were mistreated. And they were telling me, because the peasants blamed the Jews for the explosion of the reactor. And this Jew from Chernobyl took out from me that he keeps in his pocket. He takes out a newspaper in Russian. It wasn't the Pravda, for sure not. Some little local paper. He takes out a paper and he shows me, look what we have in Chernobyl. That they had a cartoon in the Russian newspaper of the reactor exploding, and on top of the explosion, in the mushroom over the explosion, there's a Magen David. that the, those anti-Semites, they're so mishuga about Jews that in Chernobyl, in Nebuch, there are 50 Jews, whatever, no, they're more than that, a couple hundred families of Jews, that the Jews were conspiring to blow up the nuclear reactor, to destroy all the non-Jews in Chernobyl and to blow up Russia. I mean, this is, you know, this is the protocols of the elders of Zion, right? And he told me, this Yid told me that the peasants believe 100%, and they were swearing that when the smoke that they saw a Magen David. With their eyes, they saw every peasant swore that he saw Magen David over Chernobyl. No, this we're not talking about the 18th century, which is a pella. We're talking about a couple of years ago. Holy smoke! So he says, then Yisbatlu Kula. The whole world is spinning on this one point that's called Yisrael, for better or for worse. In the real way, it's Bayama Yeshem Echadosh Mochad. The world can still believe in God. The fact that there's belief in the world comes from Yisrael. That there are people in the world who still think there's such a thing as God. There could be a God. That comes from Yisrael. That comes from Klal Yisrael. And they hate us most for bringing God to their lives. They hate us most for that. Because it was a lot more fun when there wasn't a God. Because now that there's some consciousness of God, then you have to, you know, sometimes you have to feel bid. You have to give a donation to the church or something, understand? It's not so much fun like it used to be. Good old days of, you know, unbridled hedonism and paganism was a machai. But now already it's not so good. Now you have Western morals and ethics. I told you once that Sigmund Freud, who was a Jew who was not loyal to our religion, but was a brilliant, brilliant man, Sigmund Freud said that the reason that the Goyim hate Jews so much is because they blame us for bringing Jesus into their lives. They'll never forgive us for bringing consciousness, for bringing godliness. But they interpret, they say, yeah, we're having such a good time. We're in the middle of a party, someplace in the back street in Athens or wherever in Rome, and look what they have to come here with religion and adultery and all these mice, and you can't do this, you can't do that. So he said that the Christians will never forgive the Jews for bringing Jesus to the world. They hate us for bringing them their religion. It's an interesting insight. I mean, it doesn't answer the whole question, but it's interesting. It's interesting. I've seen similar ideas in the Svarm.
Nietzsche's followed.
Nietzsche recognized the greatness of Klal Yisrael. But Nietzsche became a very, very potent tool in the hands of the anti-Semites. And the Germans, Yimach Shamam, who are masters at propaganda, who are masters at taking anything in German civilization and culture that accepted that the Jewish people were different, and the Nazis, Yimach Shamam, were masters at distorting. There's a fellow, Walter Kaufmann, that spent his whole life studying Nietzsche's writings. And this Walter Kaufmann proposed that Nietzsche himself, there are certain proofs that Nietzsche himself was not a Verbissene anti-Semite. Well, he said, wasn't an anti-Semite, but Nietzsche was not an anti-Semite. But he was a person that admired and studied the greatness of the Jewish people, admired and studied. He certainly did not love us, but he admired and studied. But he gave ample philosophical ammunition to the anti-Semites, who were already for 1,000 years being taught, being fed the same propaganda of the peasants of Chernobyl. And finally, the filth of the snake will be erased. The Gematria Goishna. Oz Havaya Melech, Havaya Moloch, Havaya Yimloch, the next page. The Gematria, which is the Gematria of Mashiach. Mizeh Yebevias Mashiach, the Gematria Canal. Page Samachai. Mashiach Tzikinim Heb Yamin Omein. Hine Aminigazet, this custom of the dreidel. Hoye Mikoidem Nohog Bisrael Davke Bechatichas Eitz. It was always done with wood. They're always wooden dreidels, and I makbid, when we play, I makbid to use a wooden dreidel. The children have the plastics, and now they have all these different. I davka use, ever since I saw this Bnei Sosra, which is already a meister from many years ago, I davka use a wooden dreidel. Why? Hashem ha-nemer b'nevuah l'cheskel, because it says in the nevuah t'cheskel, which is the haftorah of Vayigash, which is the haftorah of Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Of Yehuda, what's Vayigash love you? Yehuda approaching Yosef. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Oh, that's the haftorah. Va'ata ben Adam, Hashem tells Cheskel anavi. Va'ata ben Adam, you. Kach lucha eitz echad. Take one piece of wood. Uksoivalov and write on it, li-Yehuda. Yehuda. And take the lokach eitz echad and take another piece of wood. Uksoivalov li-Yosef and write Yosef, the two Mashiachs. The karavaisam echad al-echad. And to bring one next to the other, to join these two pieces of wood together, eitz echad and make them into one piece of wood. V'chol inyan sham. Adva avdi David melech aleihem. And my servant David will be king over them, over Yehuda and Yosef. Bin, he says, bin from the word l'hizbonein. Bin v'hizbonein. Think deeply. V'shni mashik asafti. B'posik v'es Yehuda sholach Yosef train mashichin. Smichas gula tefila. Hinei nasa hayrozu davke be'eitz. Ki ha'odem eitz asada. He says, this davke took place. Hashem told Yechezkel, take two pieces of wood and bring them together. Because man is compared to the tree of the field, to the eitz asada. That's not for right now. But the Adam, the completion and the perfection of the Adam, of the human being, who's compared to the Eitz HaSada, the tree of the field, that perfection, that completion will take place, the coming of Mashiach, when Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef will join together and destroy the four kingdoms. Amen.